Good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the Arcade. We are Canada's video game radio show of choice, of note, of reckoning.
Yes.
Sunday. Yes. Is when we also play. It is Friday, October 15th of the year 2010, and I am Mike the Legend, and I am so glad to be back with you. We are back here again after a double shot of our Weird Al music special from the past couple of weeks, for very good reason. We thought it was so awesome, we decided to play it twice. Isn't that right?
That is definitely right. I am Dennis the Rosebud.
Ooh, you're taking on a very floral nickname this week. Are you deciding to take on a kinder, gentler approach? Are you trying to imply that you've decided to better commune with nature?
No. Oh, actually, sorry. I should have said spoiler alert before I said that.
Oh.
Because that's a spoiler to Citizen Kane. Too soon?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I think you should just come out with it now. You're beating around the bush.
Yes, well, I watched Citizen Kane a few days ago, and, well, Rosebud's his sled. Sorry, if you haven't seen the movie by now, you should probably see the movie. It's an awesome movie.
Or if you didn't understand the reference, mucho apologies for completely spoiling the movie for you.
Yes.
Forever.
Yes, well,
if you've somehow survived, you know, being exposed to pop culture and the various references that have been made to and about Citizen Kane, whether it be about or on Tiny Toon Adventures,
The Simpsons,
namely The Simpsons, you know, various other forms of entertainment. How? How have you avoided that?
I don't know. I mean, Mr. Burns is supposed to be Citizen Kane.
You would think. But I guess, well, Citizen Kane, a great movie from a bygone era.
Yes.
And unfortunately kind of falls by the wayside in our, you know, our new fast-paced, constantly on-the-go, ever-changing universe in which, well, do we really look backwards anymore? No. We look forwards. We don't have time for people and their sleds. What we need now and what we have time for now? 3D.
Very poetic. And also very untrue.
Hey, everything about that was true.
Except for the 3D part.
It's only a matter of time before somebody gets the big idea to re-release Citizen Kane in 3D.
Well, there...
Rosebud's coming right at you off the screen.
Leave it to George Lucas, maybe.
He is apparently planning to do the Star Wars movies in 3D.
Oh, I know.
Hey.
I don't know why. I don't know why he can't just leave well enough alone.
Well, you see, George Lucas, he likes property. He likes houses. He doesn't have enough. He needs your support, the fan support, in order to help him get some new property, some new locations.
Yeah, I guess that's a fair enough point, but I'm still not buying it.
Do you recall back to that one episode of South Park?
Yes.
With Steven
yes.
Spielberg, George Lucas? If our listeners out there, if you have not seen that episode of South Park, it's from a few seasons ago. Pretty much when it seemed like everything and everybody and their dog was remaking, you know, old movies that should not be touched.
Yes, but most namely George Lucas and Steven Spielberg
being the chief culprits.
Yes.
And what they do with Indiana Jones is just despicable.
Yes, atrocious.
But yet still funny.
Yes, really funny.
And
but
really
super,
fitting.
Super atrocious.
And I suppose now with the latest announcement that Star Wars coming out in 3D, not just, you know, all at once or over the span of a year. No, once a year. And that's dependent upon if they make enough, you know, a good enough haul from the first movie and then the next one and see how it goes on down the line. How that is not just total money grubbing.
Well, I don't know. I also personally just think it's hitching yourself to a horse that's maybe not going in the right direction. I mean, I personally don't think 3D is going to last as a viable thing.
Well, that's certainly a debate to be had for another day, but
yes.
Regardless, it is something that is of the here and now, and it is it's a relatively big to-do of here and now, and so, hey, you can charge like $20 a ticket for a 3D movie, so...
It's true.
You can't do that for a regular movie.
Well, yeah, I guess not.
I mean, George... Who's going to put George Lucas's grandkids through college?
George Lucas? Because he already has enough money?
Okay, but his great-grandkids.
His great-grandkids' great-grandkids, perhaps?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I guess we got to think about them.
We got to think about the future.
The future of the George Lucas family line.
It's
the distant future of the George Lucas family line.
For when they may actually have spaceships and Imperial battle cruisers.
Yes, but enough about that bizarre aside.
What?
Yes.
I don't know why. You know, of course, people are so faithful and devoted to the Star Wars universe, there's always the long-standing rivalry between Star Wars and Star Trek, but at least with Star Trek, it has at least been the inspiration for so many technological innovations, and many other aspects of sci-fi as well have given rise to new developments in science and technology, and we have a story here as we get into our ludicrous lead-offs.
Yes, the news stories that are kind of above the rest of the news stories in terms of their weight.
Their gravitas?
Yes, their gravitas, their standing, as it were.
They are the important ones that we need to get to off the top.
Yes.
Otherwise, the rest of the show just goes terribly downhill. And we have another story basically about science fiction becoming science fact.
Yes.
Which seems to be the prevailing trend for this year. Disturbing trend.
The absolutely disturbing trend in most cases. I mean, we had the tractor beam.
Yes.
We've seen, I don't know if we talked about it on the arcade, but we've seen cyborg rats.
Yes. I think that was something we talked about, previously in a private conversation. Yes. Also mind control.
Yes, mind control.
For military, so you can control their pain receptors, their temperature response, and all that fun stuff. We had many stories in the springtime basically saying that Skynet, military supercomputers, being able to, various forms of, basically giving computers memory.
Yes.
And various other forms that truly make us believe that the Terminator years are coming.
Yes, a little bit later than expected, but... But they're still on their way.
They're fashionably late.
Yes.
How's that? They're going to be fashionably late. They're busy making sure the chrome is all nicely polished, and the titanium, the adamantium, the vibranium, whatever new element they discover to make these machines out of, are soon to be cybernetic overlords.
Yes.
Out of.
And they make sure that they get the Schwarzenegger jawline just right.
Ooh, that's true, too. Because it's got to be just perfect. You fudge it up, you got to start all over again.
Exactly.
And you don't want to do that. But this story is dealing with something that just seemed like it could only exist in sci-fi.
Yes, and I believe it's actually the basis of, one of my favorite television shows, Futurama.
It is indeed. Certainly one of the bases, and I guess... Well, one of the last times we saw this and used in a big form would have been at the start of Avatar, when they're, traveling to the planet Pandora. Well, how do you travel all that great distance? You have to be in suspended animation.
Yes, because it'll take a while.
And that's what we're talking about here, folks. Suspended animation.
Yes, that's correct.
It's real.
It's real now.
It's damn real.
Yeah, that's the ludicrous leadoff for this week.
Good night, folks. But yes, suspended animation. It may seem, sound bizarre, may sound wholly, to a certain extent impossible, as though, it is a form of cheating death.
Yes.
And, well, as humanity, we don't like death. It gets in the way of things.
It sure does.
And so if we can beat it back for, a little bit longer... Damn right we're gonna.
Yes, and that's probably the exact line of reasoning behind what the doctors at the Harvard Medical School and the Massachusetts General Hospital in Boston were thinking.
Yes, they are the ones who are currently engaging in human trials. It has suspended animation has now reached, it is no longer a theoretical concept, it has reached the stage of human trials at the Massachusetts General Hospital.
Yes, these human trials will involve freezing patients to the point of 10 degrees Celsius.
As low as 10 degrees Celsius. Now, to put that in perspective, the normal human body temperature is a balmy 37 degrees Celsius.
Yes, and you can apparently quickly die if your core temperature drops below 22 degrees Celsius, according to The Telegraph.
Yes, The Telegraph, the British newspaper. Dr. Hassan Alam, who is the man leading this kind of research at Massachusetts General Hospital. Apparently that is a bit of a tongue twister.
MGH, we can refer to it herein.
Thank you. He is optimistic about the effectiveness of this technique to the point that he now believes that 90% people of quote-unquote certain death trauma cases, such as a horrific auto crash, maybe some sort of severing or what have you.
Maybe some sort of gunshot victim.
Or even a cardiac arrest or other heart-related matters. 90% of these trauma cases can be saved once human trials are completed with, here's the astounding part, no side effects whatsoever.
Yes.
As he says, or as he told The Telegraph, the British newspaper, quote, "The body is essentially in real-life suspended animation with no pulse, no blood pressure, no electrical waves in the brain. We didn't find any evidence of functional impairment after the surgery."
Yes, so there you have it. It's not the crazy dark room with dangling wires that you always see in the various science fiction setups when you happen upon, a group of stranded travelers who've been in suspended animation for the last 300 years, but there it is. It's one step towards that, maybe?
To all those poor people who put themselves in cryogenic freezing, oh so long ago, Ted Williams, Walt Disney, other people whose names escape me at the moment.
Perhaps Dick Clark. Or at least parts of him, anyways.
True, the good parts. Well, I guess they were a little
premature with that thinking.
A little bit premature. If only they had just waited. They could very well survive. Now, of course, this is a technology. This is a development in medical research that is just still in its infancy.
Yes.
It's just now to the point of human trials, and it will take a few years before it can be concretely determined if this is an effective treatment of curing death.
Or at least postponing it for a while.
Yes. Beating it back with a stick. Yes. For the time being. And then after that, you can be guaranteed that NASA will want in on this.
Yes. DARPA, perhaps?
Funny you mention that. I was actually, when researching this story, I came across a lecture from one of the TED conferences.
Yes.
In which there was a gentleman whose name currently escapes me, unfortunately, who was talking about suspended animation research, and he was basically saying that the research has gone from, being involving garden worms to now at the stage of human research, and it's thanks in no small part to DARPA funding.
Yes, well, they have their hands in all sorts of this crazy science that's been happening.
Kind of makes you wonder, what exactly is their budget?
I don't want to think about that.
But certainly the applications, of course, the medical community will want to get their hands on it to, of course, save lives. And it being, if it proves to be an effective treatment for certain cases, certain traumas, then hey, all the better. And then NASA and the military will want in on it for, I don't know. Well, let's let them decide.
Yes.
I don't even want to think about that. But yes, needless to say, Suspended animation. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
It's on.
I don't know if we're going to quite get to the point of, you know, Futurama yet, but...
No. And I hope that doesn't happen. At all, perhaps?
Well...
I don't know.
I guess one of the things they will be researching is just how long can a body remain in suspended animation before it's... a mammal.
Yes, before it deteriorates or... What have you.
Finally goes, you know, dead and cold as opposed to dead and warm.
Yes.
If you're dead and warm, you still got a chance.
Yes. If you're dead and cold, you're not going to be the future Frostilicus. That's for sure.
But perhaps those trips to Pandora, just around the corner.
Maybe.
Fingers crossed.
But on the other hand of science, no, brings us to our next ludicrous lead-off.
Yes. For every yin of, you know, positive, freaky, yet still intriguing scientific research and discoveries, there is the yang of absurd and unnecessary scientific research and discoveries.
I think the yang is usually... hangs around at the Ig Nobel Awards.
It can definitely hang around there. At least it's enjoyed hanging around there for the past 20 years. To the listeners, you've probably never heard of the Ig Nobel Awards, and rightfully so. You have a life. You really don't need to know these kinds of things. You don't need to know that the Ig Nobel Awards actually exist. Needless to say, they do. They've been around for the last 20 years, and they were held at the start of the month, start of October, at Harvard University. And the Ig Nobel Research Awards,
It's given to silly-sounding scientific discoveries.
Yes.
That often have surprising practical upshoots. And this next ludicrous lead-off is definitely a bizarre, yet... interesting one that kind of makes you question whether you should really be punishing potty mouth.
One of the Ig Nobel Research Awards went to a British man. His name is Richard Stevens, and he's out of the Keele University in the UK, one of the many recipients of the Ig Nobel Awards. And, his research, his silly-sounding research, revolving around the use of profanities, which sounds bizarre, but he actually took the time and the money, because ain't no way you're doing that for free.
No.
time and the money to research profanity. The genesis of this was that a few years ago, he hit his hand with a hammer and let fly a string of profanity as though he was some sort of cartoon character. And yet afterwards, he apparently marveled at just how much better he felt after swearing.
Yes, during this same time period, his wife was giving birth to their daughter, unlike a cartoon character.
Indeed.
And she too was... swearing her face off, it seems, during the whole process. And apparently he deduced that this was helping her through the pain as well, in true academic fashion.
And of course, naturally, during the birth of his daughter, if you have one of those moments, then yes, you are a true academic, because from this he decided to conduct an experiment in which he would hit his students in the head with a claw hammer to see what happened. No, he didn't really do that.
No.
If only he did. But what he would do is have them hold their hands in a container filled with ice water to see how long they could stand it. And of course, I mean, even if you've carried like a frozen bag of peas or a frozen turkey, your hand gets cold, it starts to hurt.
Yes, you want to put it down so you can kind of give yourself a second to warm up, I guess.
Some of the worst times I had in my previous life working at a grocery store was when the store promo or store giveaway was if you spend X amount, you'd receive a free turkey. Free frozen turkey.
And then you have to help them carry it out to their car.
Or get it for them from the freezer department. Yeah. I kept a pair of mitts behind the counter for those days. It sucked. So yeah, it does hurt. And those individuals, those of his participants in this experiment, who, well, had a bit more of a potty mouth, it was found that they, those with potty mouths, could withstand the discomfort of this ice water for longer than people who didn't swear. As Mr. Stevens, Richard Stevens, said of the experiment, quote, what we think is when you swear, you produce an emotional reaction in yourself. You arouse your nervous system, and you set off the fight-or-flight response. It gets the heart rate up, gets the adrenaline flowing. End quote. And
it makes sense. I mean,
sure.
I guess.
You know what I would have to say? This requires more research.
Probably.
And more study to see what are the, I guess, further benefits to concretely deduce that, yes, this is in fact the case.
Well, I think he secured himself tenure if he didn't have it already.
And perhaps even another Ig Nobel Award.
Yes. It's interesting to note, though, that in this story that was brought to our attention via Kotaku.com, they said one of the other recipients won an Ig Nobel Award in engineering for developing a way to harvest whale snot with a remote-controlled helicopter. So, just to give you an idea of what kind of awards are handed out at the Ig Nobels,
I don't even... I'm assuming their trophy is nicknamed an Iggy. I mean, if you win yourself an Oscar, do you win yourself an Iggy? Hey, I got three Iggies on my mantle for best supporting scientific research.
Yes.
And, of course, set design.
Yes. I mean... Or lighting, you never know.
Oh, yes. Costumes.
Yes.
As I'm sure those are in the Iggies as well, but nevertheless, we are returning back to how we started the show with our, our tangent about cinema, about movies, and of course, we'll try and get back on topic here on as we try to be Canada's video game radio show.
Yes, bring ourselves back to the world of video games.
Yes, video games, and, well, some technology as we like to look at video games, but of course we also keep an eye towards the larger world of electronic entertainment and any sort of devices, gizmos, gadgets that might come out that are worth noting, worth talking about, that do something cool, something funky, something different, something that hasn't been done before, something that you did not even know was a problem. And for a lot of people in this world, a lot of gamers, they like their MMORPGs.
Yes, their MMORPGs, as I like to call them.
I like to say MMORPGs.
Yes, different strokes for different folks.
I'm right. And so the unfortunate thing is, they are suffering. They are a suffering, a silent minority. Because...
Well, they didn't know this yet. They didn't know that they were a suffering silent minority.
Panasonic is helping them realize this fact.
Panasonic realized this, and they're helping them realize this, in that they're a silent suffering minority.
They are a silent suffering minority, and it's unfortunate, because they've suffered for far too long when it doesn't have to be that way. And thanks to the good folks, the good engineers and developers at Panasonic. That will soon change. What is the problem? What is the affliction that this silent suffering minority suffers from? It's the fact that they cannot take their MMORPGs on the go.
Yes, it's tragic, isn't it?
It is contained within the four walls of their dwelling, of their domicile.
It's hooked up to their LAN, their wireless network, their router, as it were. They can't go any further than the range of that.
They cannot take it outside their confines, their dwelling. They are stuck in front of their screen, sitting in a chair in a room which may or may not have windows, and they cannot leave it.
Be littered with empty Cheetos bags or Dr. Pepper cans.
Again, you're reminding me of South Park.
Yes.
Curse you.
Sorry.
But nevertheless, they are, in fact, they are chained. They are bound to their computer, their device that is playing and containing these MMORPGs. They cannot leave. They cannot go outside and get fresh air. They cannot take their MMORPGs MMORPG with them in the car, on the bus, to the doctor's office.
to treat them for MMORPG-related skin conditions, etc.
But they cannot. They are bound. They are confined to their home computer.
Yes. Well, what are we getting at here?
Panasonic has recognized that this is a problem.
Yes. Good.
And Panasonic wants to work to... Not to work. They've done the work. They want to fix it. And so what they have done is they've announced they have a new device coming out that will help people take their MMORPGs with them wherever they may go, whether it be on the bus, on the bike, to the doctor's office, what have you. Maybe out when you're waiting for your, you know, girl to arrive to a romantic dinner. Whatever. Whatever. You can take it with you. Because they've announced a new little device. A new entry into the handheld gaming market, the portable gaming market. And it's called The Jungle.
Yes, according to Gizmodo, now that we're talking not as... not as a commercial now, it seems.
Damn.
Back to the arcade now.
Indeed.
According to Gizmodo, who I believe first reported this device, they said this jungle resembles a small laptop with a full QWERTY keyboard and a touchpad in addition to more standard gaming controls such as a D-pad and shoulder buttons. And given its focus on online gaming... Wi-Fi is apparently a given with some sort of 3G mobile support, likely.
Yes, this, it's going to be a, you know, portable gaming device. It's a clam-shaped device. Not much is really known about it right now. All that's really happened is Panasonic has put out the press release and a few images and a flash video of this thing to herald its soon arrival.
Yes.
It's impending arrival, which I think is a much better way of saying things. But according to their website for this device, the Jungle will also have a headphone jack, which, why it wouldn't, is insane, as well as a micro USB port. And
there's the one of those nice attempts at, you know, PR people trying to remain modern and edgy, and there's a
as though they have attitude.
Yes, and that shines through in their quote that they released on their website, and I quote, "All we can say for now is that this mean little machine features a kick A** display." It says, you know, because they're edgy, right? They use the A word. "A kick A* display, touchpad, keyboard, and other gaming controls that we'll be saying more about soon."
Ooh. Rad.
That's so cool.
Gnarly, dude.
That's tubular.
Oh, we've devolved to cheap early 1990s slang. I love it.
Yes.
But Gizmodo has also did hear an unconfirmed report that this device, The Jungle, will run a Linux-based operating system, meaning ports of MMO or massively multiplayer games will be necessary. However, the device will be able to run browser-based games and is being cross-promoted with the browser-based Battlestar Galactica MMORPG that was first announced back in March of this year.
And if that's the case, that means all of those Facebook games you could probably also play on it. You know, so you can get your Mafia Wars on the bus.
Ooh.
Because you couldn't do that on your cell phone already.
So you can have some mad Farmville action going on.
Yes.
As for other games on this device, Panasonic has only said that its mission with The Jungle was to, quote, "create an ecosystem around online gaming," end quote, and that it is, quote, "working with leading online game developers to create some exciting new content," end quote, which means they don't have anything stellar to announce right now, but man, they're trying.
So, my thoughts on this...
Yes. Let's opine.
Yes. This doesn't sound... like it's anything spectacular. I mean, if they released this a few years ago, before smartphones started to proliferate, it would have been more impressive. But smartphones have now proliferated to the point where, well, smartphones, and I guess I have to begrudgingly accept the iPad, since enough people now seem to have it.
Fair enough.
I mean, that, you know, it's already been proven that mobile online devices are now becoming a thing of the norm. And things that can have some real graphical horsepower. I mean, you can do 3D on the iPod Touch and the iPad.
It's true.
And on many Android devices as well, so...
And, of course, that's in addition to, you know, many people already having with them a DS, a PSP, PSP Go. Yes.
And even still, like, on I know, for example, with Android, because it is Linux-based already, there are already various emulators and such for numerous systems. I mean, I've seen someone playing Super Nintendo on their phone. Like, they had, like, a full library of Super Nintendo games, and I thought, huh... Interesting.
That's certainly very neat. I understand what Panasonic is going for, because it generally, or the demographic of people who are fans of MMORPGs are also fans of the latest, newest technology.
I don't necessarily know if that's necessarily the case, though.
In my mind, without seeing any numbers, that is how I picture things. That is just my own personal take on it.
I suppose. I always think of Mamorpga players, because I just love that word. It just sounds so silly when you say it like that. Mamorpga players are, to me, I can't shake the image of the South Park episode out of my head. And they're just, you know, the cave dwellers in the basement that just are solely situated around their computer. Their computer might have the craziest stuff in it, but... Maybe not much else.
Not impossible. And I certainly see what you're going for there. But this device has such an absolutely narrow focus.
It sure seems to be that way.
When you're specifically trying to target online gamers, why? As you have just said, and as we've established, and also as everybody in society knows now, mobile devices, I mean, you can't swing a cat without hitting one. Let's face it. It seems the majority of people in our society now have a mobile device of some sort that can do gaming. And, you know, not necessarily online gaming, but gaming of some nature. And as well, I mean, the DS, 3DS, PSP, those are certainly capable of doing, you know, some form of online gaming.
Yes.
Can they run the full, you know, MMORPGs? No, not really.
Maybe not yet.
Is that enough? But is that enough to sustain a business around, you know, a device that is specifically geared towards that purpose?
I'm not sold. I'm not sold either. But mind you, I wasn't sold on the iPod or the iPad. But having said that, that this isn't an Apple product, and they don't have the cult of Mac to back them.
I was actually just about to make the comment we could be comparing apples to oranges.
Ooh!
Buzzing! you know, there's just a lot about this that just makes me scratch my head, because it kind of sounds like, you know, the N-Gage. I'm reminded of the N-Gauge.
Yes.
From back in the day. Or maybe even the Wonder Swan.
Well, the Wonder Swan was... Well, the Wonder Swan was from a slightly different era and a different mindset as the N-Gage. I definitely agree with the N-Gage. The Wonder Swan was more like another company trying to make their own version of the Game Boy, I thought.
True.
The N-Gage was just stupid.
But I certainly have already pegged this in my mind as something that will join the mobile device graveyard along with the N-Gage, Wonder Swan. I think there was a few that Tiger Electronics actually had back in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Let's not forget the Sega Nomad.
Ooh, I almost did. Sega Nomad, that's right.
Yes, speaking of too little, way too late.
yes, exactly. I mean, and also, too, let's not forget that, I mean, because it can only do games, it has a limited appeal in that regard.
Yes, unless, of course, it really is just another Ultra Mini PC, which we have a lot of already.
It's
so
true.
How is this any different? Or is it just, like, an even smaller netbook? I personally think netbooks are small enough as they are. And you get any smaller, then you can't do anything with it. Like, the typing area is too small, And it's too big to use, like, as a, you know, like a BlackBerry kind of QWERTY keypad.
This is true.
With your thumbs. So, what are you doing?
I think ultimately the point is, as we're talking, the point that keeps getting made is that this market for mobile devices, whether they be cell phones, smartphones, BlackBerries...
it's already pretty saturated.
Netbooks, iPads, iPods, you know, DS, soon to be the 3DS, the PSP. There isn't room, I would think, for something that is just of such a narrow focus.
Exactly, but, well, we'll have to wait and see. Or this could be another failed Panasonic attempt at gaming. Remember the 3DO?
Oh, I certainly remember.
I sort of remember the 3DO.
I certainly do as well. I never knew anybody who had a 3DO.
I knew one person with a 3DO.
Really?
It was neat, but the PlayStation came out shortly after and was better than the 3DO, if only because there were way more games.
I certainly remember seeing the infomercials for it on Saturday morning and thinking yes. It was the bee's knees, but then again, I was a very young, impressionable child.
Yes, and also, looking back at the prices back then, it was really expensive.
No specific release date announced yet for this Panasonic Jungle, which also the name is atrocious, but yes. Nevertheless... no pricing information released, and if this thing is 3G, you would think there need to be some sort of carrier and or data plan information.
Yeah, I'd think so. I mean, would this be offered as, like, alongside, well, I don't know, BlackBerries and iPhones Ooh. At your various phone retailers?
Very good question.
Alongside them, I mean... Even though it doesn't sound like it has any sort of phone component to it, so you'd essentially just be paying for a data plan.
Or if there is a phone component to it, then it is, honest to God, the rebirth of the N-Gage.
Yeah. But, again, way too little, way too late, because we already have other phones that can do a lot of neat stuff already, including gaming, as we've seen with the iPhone.
Gaming and more.
Yes.
Well, we'll see how how the winds of fortune take this Panasonic Jungle. I'm not expecting much. How about you?
No, I'm not expecting anything.
Not even a word if this is going to be released in Canada, when or whatever. Just hey, here's the Panasonic Jungle. It's awesome. It's going to be kick ass.
Yeah. No, not. They didn't go so far as to actually say the word ass.
My mistake.
It was A star star.
It's going to be kick A star star.
Which, you have to say it like that when someone writes it, because that's how it's written.
I can understand the desire to take an edgy, attitude driven approach to this thing if this was about 13 years ago and we were in the late 90s.
Yeah, and that was back, when Nintendo had its Play It Loud campaign and
yes.
Sega was shouting Sega at you and...
The X Games were just taking off and, there's such anger and aggression and, the music of the day as well with Korn and Limp Bizkit and, Stone Cold Steve Austin was giving people the middle finger left, right, and center and he's drinking beer in the wrestling ring. He's giving the finger to his boss, and you can't do that, and Hulk Hogan's taking over with the NWO. It was craziness. It was craziness.
No, it was Hollywood Hogan.
True.
That's my one little bit of...
Hollywood Hulk Hogan, yes.
Yeah, well, but for that brief period of time when he dyed his facial stubble black. Wow, that was stupid.
It's amazing what you can do with a Sharpie. It's amazing. But yes, Panasonic Jungle. Hey.
You're in the jungle, baby. You're gonna die. Sorry. That's just the instant association I have as well.
What's funny is that I did not even consider or make that correlation. I thank you, and I'm sure a lot of our other listeners thank you as well for that. That was awesome.
Well...
But we move right along here as we continue talking about new devices. Hey, there's another new device that's going to be coming out for home consoles in a few weeks' time, specifically...
Well, just one console.
Well, if you have two in the house, then you can get it for both.
Yeah, you could use it for both, as long as they're both Xbox 360s.
Start of November is when we will see the launch of the Kinect.
which I still want to call Natal because it was a cooler name.
It was a much cooler name.
But Kinect.
Kinect. Kinect, which I feel like I have to be very conscious of my pronunciation of, you know, because of the K-I-N at the beginning. Preppy fiends, nevertheless. The Kinect, or Kinect, you know, basically the demo videos, the trailers for it we've seen can kind of make it look like, oh, you can play it in your living room, regardless of, you know, what size or space there is. It'll work. It'll adapt to you and your needs.
Well, the manual was leaked, and that's not the case.
Oh, it is so not the case. a couple of weeks ago, the website VG247 uploaded scans of the Kinect user manual, and a few surprising facts were derived from said scans. Now, under the quote-unquote adequate space for playing, the Kinect manual suggests that players stand approximately 6 feet away from the sensor in order to be visible.
Yes, and even more ridiculous than that, when there are two players playing, they should stand 8 feet away.
Make sure you've got your measuring tape.
Yes, but 6 to 8 feet. How many standard apartment living rooms have that kind of space? After you have your couches and all your furniture and everything in.
Couches, tables, probably chairs too. You don't have that space.
No. But 6 to 8 feet. This is, I think, a total game changer.
The troubleshooting section of this of these manual scans also had a few surprising tips as well. If the sensor can't see you, it suggests turning on lights to, quote-unquote, brighten the play space, and even, quote-unquote, wearing different clothing to help stand out. Bust out your 80s neon. It's coming back, people. Oh, yeah. Kinect is bringing it back.
Yeah, because I guess this is actually lending credence to that rumor from a little while back that stated that the camera would only be, what, 300 kilopixels?
Something like that. It was basically, the report was that it's a lesser camera in there than what was initially thought to be going into the device.
Yes, a far lesser camera.
Simply because of cost.
Yes, and apparently the max resolution of the camera is something like 160 by 120, was the rumor?
Certainly was the rumor. I think we talked about it a few, so damned if I can remember. I was preoccupied with the enjoying the Weird Al music show.
Yes.
Yeah, this is a... It is more of a game changer, I say.
Yeah.
Now, of course, there can be correlations drawn between this and the launch of the Wii 4 years ago, as it was now. Yeah, almost exactly 4 years ago. Whenever Grey Cup is, that was 4 years ago. I remember these things.
Yes.
I won't go into why. But, of course, there were concerns as to, you know, distance, concerns as to the lighting of the room. It could be too bright and could wash out the light that the sensor, the Wii sensor uses to determine your distance and all that good stuff. And for the Wii, ultimately, it was all proven to be a bit of a moot point. Nothing really came of it.
Yeah, because it was all infrared-based, and, I mean, it's kind of hard to interfere with infrared unless you're like clicking TV remotes everywhere, and most people don't do that once they've engaged themselves in video game playtime. So,
but this is a beast of a different color here.
Yes, this one's entirely different since it's camera based, and these problems actually have a good chance of happening now. And if this manual leak is true, holy crap.
I don't know too many people. Your average house, yeah, you probably have, you know, a good 6 to 8 feet in your living room. But then again, not everybody's living in a house.
No, I mean, there's a great portion of the population who live in apartments.
And if you want to have a good 6 to 8 feet of, you know, free playable space, unfettered space in your living room, something tells me you're the type of person who's not going to be concerned about buying the Kinect anyway.
Yeah.
You probably have a nice condo that's run you six figures.
Yes, or some sort of gigantic house in one of the nicer areas of town, I suppose.
Exactly. But, you know, there's also the question that, or certainly concerns that were raised, and some responders, some on a forum here about these Kinect manual scans, people have become concerned.
This is actually a big problem in Japan, where pretty much everyone lives in an apartment because of space issues.
It's true.
Yes.
And these aren't exactly, you know, full-out, you know, nicely sprawling apartments here.
No, these are, like, you're very modest, like, probably, like, bachelor suite, if not, you know, single-bedroom, maybe two-bedroom apartment kind of thing, mm-hmm. where you have just, like, a very modest living space. I mean, there were comments on the Japanese forum Hashimaki, such as, that's impossible in my room, or how can anyone living in Japan do that, etc., etc.
Ooh.
So, I don't know. This is not a good sign for Microsoft's Kinect.
Microsoft's Kinect. Well, obviously, the fine people of Japan doesn't look like they'll be getting up and moving around to the, probably, what, 8 different fitness-type games or launch games for Kinect?
Yes.
Shucks.
The really less-than-stellar launch lineup that we commented on already in the past.
Yes, basically from E3 when it was we learned more about the Kinect and Microsoft's plans for it. And if you're still interested, start of November, November 4th is when it comes out. And if you've already measured your living room area or your room where you have your Xbox 360, hey, go for it. If you can. If you can.
If you can. Act. Sorry. That moves us along awkwardly to the next story.
Sure does, as we chug along here to our next story. More news about technology.
Yes.
Gaming-related technology.
Another one that had us scratching our heads when we first heard about it.
Yes, but we haven't heard anything about it for a while, and we're talking about the Wii Vitality Sensor.
Yes, the supposed little clip you put on your finger that's kind of like a real hospital vitality sensor that, you know, monitors your heart rate and your
biorhythms, essentially,
and stuff. All those different numbers on that machine in the hospital that makes a beep sound. I don't know what it's called. I'm not a medical guy. I don't know anything about that.
Fair enough.
That machine thingy.
Yes, the one that you don't want to flatline.
No, exactly. And if
that
it does,
one.
You know you're dead.
Or in suspended animation.
Yes.
Hey, everything's tying together.
Yes, we tie that back to the beginning of the show.
Excellent. But yes, we haven't really heard much about the Vitality Sensor since it was announced, unveiled, at E3 of 2008. E3 of 2009, rather.
Yes.
Nintendo was saying that they were going to talk more about it this year. They didn't, and instead they decided to talk more about games, which I think was a much better choice.
Yes, a far better choice, you know, since people care about games and people don't necessarily care about little widgets to kind of plug into the thing that might not have any sort of practical upshoot.
Well, apparently there was a patent filing that was uncovered by the gaming blog Siliconera, and on the part of Nintendo for the Vitality Sensor, hence why we talk about it.
Yes.
And the patent lays out not only how the finger encasing device will work, but also unveiled its first game, which may be titled Wii Relax. According to this patent filing, the sensor works by shooting infrared light through a person's fingertip in order to determine how fast the blood is flowing. That blood flow reveals a person's pulse, which is an indicator of stress. The pulse indicator determines a person's quote-unquote relax fluid.
This doesn't get better as you read it.
No, it doesn't. Please tell me, you know, there's got to be a better term for it, but it's called the relax fluid that this pulse indicator determines. Of course, a measure of a person's stress, and the relax fluid level is then compared to what is considered standard for a person's age, much in the same way that Wii Fit compares a person's weight to a standardized body mass index to determine their his or her fitness level. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Also included in the patent are details of a stretching game, which is intended to help players relax. Players must tilt the Wii remote while stretching in order to control a character on screen, and using the vitality sensor, players must also breathe in and out in sync with the on-screen prompts to control the character's hat, which rises and falls in sync with the player's breath. I'm having visions of Hattress.
Yes.
Oh, finally a new thing for Pajnatov to get his hands on.
Yes.
It's been far too long. Silicon Era surmises that the game described might be titled Wii Relax, since Nintendo filed a trademark application for that title last year. And if this report is accurate, the game will most likely be bundled with the Wii Vitality Sensor, as it is described in the patent. So a little bit more information on this little doohickey.
I'm still confused as to what the point of this is, unless they're really going to just use it just as a heart monitor, I guess?
I guess so.
Ultimately?
I guess how it's used and what it's used for is kind of determined by the game developers themselves, but what it sounds like, it's your pulse level, your stress level. I can see applications for maybe horror games.
Yeah.
A Silent Hill type game, if you will.
Or even any sort of like action game. I know, like, when there's stressful parts in, like, let's say even like a Zelda game, I know, you know, your heart rate kind of starts racing, and because you're really into it, and you're just starting to get frustrated when it's too hard or what have you.
Maybe, and you start cursing.
Yes,
start
you
swearing.
Start cursing, and again, working it back to the second story. it might maybe amp it up and maybe, or maybe make the character start taunting you or something.
Indeed, or maybe, you know, have some other effect with your main character. Maybe Link isn't swinging his sword as accurately, or what have you, or, you know.
Or maybe your fury will build into some sort of finishing move that you just kind of unleash a big crazy explosion or something and just destroy everything on the screen once it just senses, okay, this person's had enough.
Perhaps applications for some sort of military or war game. You know, the camera shakes that much more as you get that much more into it, and your pulse
yes.
and stress level rises. And of course, if you take a sniping position,
yes, then it would really have an effect, because I guess even your heartbeat can affect the position of your rifle.
That it can. So it's an interesting idea, I guess, also because we still don't know that much about it quite yet to know enough whether it's good, bad, or otherwise at this point, unlike Kinect.
Yes.
But some interesting ideas, no further information about it, just other than it's going to shoot more infrared light into you. Nintendo really likes their infrared light.
Yes.
But well, hey, why not?
As long as it's, I can't even think of any sort of negative effect that infrared light would have on you. I mean,
I would hope none.
It's not like it makes you go blind or anything. Like,
so. Unlike all that moonshine. Wow.
Yes.
Nevertheless, one last story that we're going to get to here is music related. And it's as we're starting to run out of time on this radio program, and it's a band that, we don't talk about nearly often enough.
No, well, they haven't really done anything in a while.
This is true, but it's a band that does have a fair amount of nerd cred.
Yes.
It is a band that is fronted by Jack Black, who, of course, was a major component of Brutal Legend from last year, or a game from this time last year. And, of course, we speak of the two-piece outfit that is Tenacious D.
Yes, we've been longtime fans of them on this show, and
of both their HBO show and
yes,
their musical albums.
Yes, and if you are not familiar with Tenacious D, it's worth checking out. I mean, if you're not sick of Jack Black by now, because I know there was a period in time when he was in every movie.
This is true.
But if you can get beyond that, they're still a great band, like a great comedy band and just a great band in general.
Indeed, they actually have legitimate musical chops.
Yes, and it was announced that they're the musical act for BlizzCon this year.
Yes, which you might think, what? BlizzCon? Isn't that the Blizzard thing?
Yes, but they have, I guess they've set up a tradition now where they have like a big musical act every year, and last year it was Ozzy Osbourne. And I saw a video from the event, and wow, Ozzy sucks. He's just terrible now. He just can't sing live. It's like, I don't know what was going on. But that aside, I mean, Tenacious D, I think they can still sing.
I don't think they've quite reached Ozzy levels in their careers yet.
No.
I still think both Jack Black and Kyle Gass, KG, if
yes.
you will, are both still have some of their musical chops ingrained in them, and they are the closing act. They are playing the closing ceremony of BlizzCon, which takes place on October 23rd of this year.
Yes.
Which, if you're interested and you want to think that's something that might tickle your fancy and you want to go check out, sorry to say, but your trip down to the Anaheim Convention Center in Anaheim, California, will be in vain unless you want to go check out an Anaheim Ducks game.
Yes.
But I doubt you do.
But in true Blizzard fashion, they like to make as much money as possible, so they are selling...
Damn Skippy.
Yes, they're selling virtual tickets for $39.95, which will allow you to watch more than 50 hours of content from the event. So that should cover the Tenacious D concert.
I would think so. Now, also, too, tickets for this event went for $125 a pop, or at least they did for last year. And I assume they're at the same rate, if not just a bit more, you know, adjusting for inflation. And 20,000 of last year's tickets, all 20,000 of last year's tickets were sold out. And this year is also sold out as well.
And interestingly enough, Blizzard still said that the event remains unprofitable. Which I you know, there's a nice word I like to use for that. It's called dissent. It's BS.
Malarkey.
Yes.
I call malarkey.
Yes. Malarkey, BS, total BS, total malarkey.
But if you're, wanting to see Tenacious D perform live, because they haven't really come through Winnipeg anytime soon, or ever.
Yes.
Apparently they're going to be playing some of their classic hits as well as new material.
Well, that's probably worth seeing.
I don't know if it's worth the $50, though.
No, probably not.
But nevertheless, I'm sure somebody will record it and post it to YouTube, so maybe just wait for a few days after. Just saying.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know, again, those mobile devices, a lot of them have cameras in them now.
Yeah.
The Panasonic Jungle won't.
Exactly.
Ah, yes, but we are starting to run out of time here, so probably it's advisable that we end things off with how we'd normally end things off, with the Blast from the Past.
Yes, the Blast from the Past. Something that's, well, this one's most assuredly collecting dust on your shelf, and
most assuredly, you've heard of it.
Yeah, you've heard of it, because Nintendo made you hear about it. If you bought a Nintendo, the original Nintendo, back in the day.
Back in 1985, because we are talking about a little game that this week celebrates its 25th anniversary of being on North American shelves. That being probably the game that changed it all and started the current modern-day video game generation, Super Mario Brothers.
Yes, the original classic, the one with the more realistic feeling physics, it seems. If you'd ever played any sort of platforming game up to that point, the physics were non-existent. It was just, you press forward, you move forward, you stop pressing forward, you stop moving forward, even if you're mid-jump, etc., etc. With Super Mario Brothers, it was like, whoa, Mario slid, and he felt like he was moving, like there was momentum, and everything felt, wow, this is pretty wacky, and it felt like gravity was a real thing instead of just being a wishy-washy kind of thing. But
also introduced people to the world of power-ups and allowing Mario to spit out fireballs, become invincible.
Yes.
Take on, you know, various forms of lizards, and taught us a little term called Goomba.
Yes.
That wasn't just a derogatory term for Italian-Americans.
Yes, and it also introduced us to the Koopa Kingdom.
Ah, yes.
Bowser's first appearance. And the whole concept of having to rescue the princess.
Going through a castle and having to rescue the princess.
Yes.
Only to have her be in a different castle.
Yes. That was started there.
It started there. It started it all. And we owe a great deal of what we have today in the video game world for two Super Mario Brothers and the people behind it and Nintendo. This week, it's 25th anniversary. Best way to honor it, dust it off. pop it in, whether it be on your original Nintendo, your Super Nintendo, Game Boy, DS, 3DS, Virtual Console, phone, whatever.
Yes, you shouldn't have any problem finding it, probably in your house even.
Exactly, or if you can't find it, go online. I mean, there are emulators, ROMs, Flash versions.
This is actually an interesting time to mention a little game called Super Mario Crossover.
Yes.
Which is the game recreated on the internet where you can play it as different video game characters.
You can be Mario, or you can be, say, Mega Man.
Or Samus.
Or Link.
Or Simon Belmont.
Ooh.
Or Ryu Hayabusa.
Or, I believe, Bill from Contra.
Yes. It adds a whole other dynamic to the game when you play through it that way. But play the original if you haven't.
Certainly.
Haven't you played it already?
Well, yeah. I mean, even if you're just born, that's not an excuse. Let's face it, we live in the day and age where you should have a controller in your hand immediately after.
Yes.
Just saying. But, yes, Super Mario Brothers, the 25th anniversary on North American shelves this week. Come on, you know you want to play it. Do it. And that about does it for this week. But before we sign off, just got to say that make sure you tune in, not just next week, because we're here every Friday night at 7 p.m. and again Sundays at 6 p.m. No, 2 weeks' time. 2 weeks' time is Halloween weekend. Why do I mention 2 weeks' time for Halloween weekend? Well, you see, we are doing something very, very special. We are dusting off an old gem, an old little nugget that we did a few years ago, bringing it back. We're doing an all music spooktacular.
Yes.
We are bringing it back as we like to do for Christmas, you know, a Christmas music special. We're doing that for Halloween, and it's going to be fun. We've got the playlist all queued up from now. It's a doozy.
It sure is.
A lot of names you've probably never heard of. A lot of Halloween songs that aren't the Monster Mash.
Yes.
And some obligatory ones, but we'll get to that. But make sure you tune in. It will be fun. Again, Fridays at 7, Sundays at 6. Email us, thearcade@kick.fm, or visit our website, thearcadeshow.com. Until next week, good night, everybody.
Good night.